Okay. Welcome to the Guffman. I'm Alex, and with me, as usual, is James. Okay, not quite with me.
I'm here.
Okay, there we go. Before we get started, we want to get you to check out our website, themacguffinmen.com. Follow us on Twitter, at themacguffinmen, all one word, no underscores. We recently talked about The Shining and Room 237. We've also recently done podcasts on Boogie Nights, Neighbors, and Sex, Lies, and Videotape, which I remembered this time. Next week we'll be doing a podcast on Fargo, both the TV series and a little bit on the movie as well. I also recently wrote a thing about Jesse Eisenberg and his new movie, The Double, which you can read on songsandcigarettes.com. We are not talking about any of those things today, so you will find out what we are talking about after the jump.
Welcome to the MacGuffin Men. And now, here are Alex and James.
See what I did there, James? I used that phrase I hate so much, but I used it for our purposes. I repurposed it.
Mm-hmm. And what reason was that?
It's because we're talking about two movies with jump in the title today.
True.
specifically 21 Jump Street and 22 Jump Street. Not Jumper. which I think this director of photography also shot, actually.
Whoa, okay, yeah. Jumper podcast coming up.
It's the trifecta of jump in the title.
No, we're talking about better movies than Jumper.
Yes, we were talking about 21 Jump Street.
Mm-hmm.
I assume we talk about 21 Jump Street first, right?
Yeah, I feel like we've talked about that movie on this podcast.
Only in bits and pieces. We've never like focused on it. There was a video episode that we do not speak of because it didn't ever make its way into existence entirely. So yes, we have talked about it for 12 minutes on this podcast before, but that episode never hit the streets.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about 21 yeah. Jump Street then.
Let's.
All that almost usable material coming at you. No, I think we talked about it in the Lego Movie
a little
podcast,
bit. But I don't
a little bit.
Yeah.
So the cat's out of the bag that we were big fans of 21 Jump Street.
Yeah, huge fan. I have like on occasion, with not meaning any hyperbole by it, said that it's I think one of the best movies of the past 5 years.
All movies or just comedy movies?
All movies. I think it's like, it's to me, it's like I speak very, very highly of Knocked Up. I feel like 21 Jump Street is in that sort of rare comedy category that is a very, very good comedy. And you can just sort of put it on and laugh a lot. But it's also very interesting. And in a way that most comedies aren't. And I think 21 Jump Street really is that rare comedy. And I every time I watch it, I just like love it so much. And I've probably seen it about 5 times now. And I never like it less when I go back to it.
Okay.
Even though I know all the jokes.
Yeah. What do you like so much about it?
I mean, it's a... It's a teen movie. That's a big part of it.
Right.
But it's
your
also
teen movie love.
Yeah, exactly. But it was also, I mean, we did an episode on Easy A where we kind of ran down the teen movie trends. And Easy A in 2010 was the most modern teen movie to exist. And then we get to 21 Jump Street in 2012, which becomes the new modern bar for teen movies, I think, because it takes teen movie tropes and plays with them so well, and adds the something that was important to Easy A and Mean Girls to a lesser extent, and a movie that was, you know, less good in John Tucker Must Die. Media or technology was very important, but 21 Jump Street is where technology and riffing on the actual teen movie tropes really come together in an interesting way, because the movie a big part of the movie is about how big the gap between adult and youth has gotten in a very short period of time, just by the way technology has changed things, you know? Just because, I mean, Jenko and Schmidt graduate from high school in 2005, and 7 years later, they are just baffled by what's going on in high school.
Yeah,
it's like a total. It's a total reverse. Is the basic joke? You know, everything is reversed.
Yeah, much to Janko's chagrin.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, and Schmidt says, you know, if I was born 10 years later, I would have been one of the cool kids.
Yeah,
and that's, you know,
being tolerant is cool.
Yeah, being tolerant, caring about the environment. Yeah. There's some other thing on his list there. Yeah.
It's comic books and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right.
So yeah, fuck Glee.
Well, you're right. I think part of it's the technology thing, that things have shifted so much, and that kind of hipster culture just exploding. Is that just hand in hand with technology for you?
Yeah, a little bit. I think it just sort of speeds up the way these things can happen, because it's sort of the thing about the internet is that, and you know, the technology that grows from it is that it allows subcultures to become culture much quicker, you know? And so this sort of you know, the hippie type of lifestyle that I suppose Eric, Dave Franco's character, enjoys, he's able to see that it's not a weird thing on the internet, right? Because there are just more people sharing his beliefs, and then he feels less weird about talking about that in person, and somehow the tables just kind of turn, you know, because being new is the new you know, owning your stereotypes, I guess. Or I guess, right, he is owning his stereotype. It's just kind of a new stereotype, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, two-strapping, it's cool.
I two-strapped it all the way through high school, and I graduated in 2004, so I don't know. I suppose I was more Schmidt than Janko.
Yeah, I think we know exactly what that says about you. Yeah. I actually no-strapped it for all of high school.
Really?
Yeah, wow. Just the way Janko wanted to.
Yeah, man, you should have sent Janko an email for this movie.
Right.
Because he would have done it if he knew how.
Right, yeah. Of course. After rewatching 21 Jump Street, I'm amazed how quickly everything gets out of the gate, eh?
How do you, like the way they establish the story and...
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, it's essentially a trailer. Like, it's about 2 minutes long, and we're pretty much dropped into everything we need to know about their high school years, their...
Yeah, but it's certainly not fast-paced to a fault. I would have happily watched another 10 minutes of them in high school, just because if you know, film a movie in high school halls, I'm into it. But I think it's very economical, very funny, and sets up both of their characters and sets up a classic teen movie trope of the whole trying to ask a girl to the prom that also comes in again later. And I think it's a really effective 2 minutes, and yeah, they get a lot done very quickly, all of which furthers the plot, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
That's one thing that's great about 21 Jump Street. It is a very tightly written movie.
Yes, I guess we should mention our boys now,
Phil Lord and Chris Miller.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who they are, the directors,
yes,
directing team, yeah, writing team.
Yep. Also did Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, the Lego Movie, 22 Jump Street.
Solid career.
Yeah. And I mean, Clone High. People love Clone High, so that bears mentioning.
Yeah, we're not those people. But mine is for
speak
lack
for
of...
yourself, man.
Yeah, I was going to say mine's lack of exposure, not lack of appreciation.
Yep.
Yeah. So another kind of early establishing bit, we get Nick Offerman playing their captain.
Yes. Nick Offerman, yeah, basically playing the role he was born to play.
And always plays.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, we get the, you know, the angry police captain, chief, whatever he is.
Yeah.
Pretty early on in the movie. And again, that's another trope of the buddy cop movie, mm-hmm, is the angry angry captain. But we also get him establishing kind of the meta tone that these movies take, especially 22 Jump Street, sure we will get to.
Yeah.
But, you know, he says, obviously, we haven't mentioned it yet, but 21 Jump Street is a kind of reboot, remake, whatever, of a 1980s television show,
yeah,
with a similar plot. And so his character says, you know, the guys who come up with the ideas for these things lack creativity and they're completely out of ideas. So they just recycle shit from the past, hope no one notices. Mm-hmm. And he mentions this in reference to this undercover program where they send people into high schools. But, you know, it doesn't take too much digging to understand that he's talking about the plot of this film.
Yeah, for sure.
There is plenty of meta stuff in 21 Jump Street, and I take it that's something you and I both appreciate about it.
Yes. Yeah, I would say I appreciate it, but I think I care much less about the meta stuff than I do about the sort of the teen movie aspects that they deal with. I think, like, if we're saying, you know, I think this movie's probably like 75-25 teen movie to buddy cop movie. There just happens to be a very close relationship. The buddy part is all in a lot of the teen movie parts. The thing I do really like about the reboot stuff is that it actually does tie into the other part of the themes of the movie. Basically, when Schmidt talks about how he want, and it's played for a joke and it's very funny, but how he talks about how he's applying for colleges and he could go to college and become a doctor, and he basically wants to reboot his own life. Like, he's going back to the well and thinking, hey, maybe I really can try this again and do it a new, fresh way. And I find that scene really, really interesting. And that's one of the things I love the most about this movie, is that even though it really does feel like it's about two separate themes, the playing with teen movie and playing with buddy cops, and reboot culture a little bit as well, I like the way they find a way to tie it all together.
Yeah, and we've talked about the idea of timing in this podcast a lot, and this kind of seems like a case where, you know, as I mentioned before, Schmidt just kind of feels like he got the timing wrong. It's not just that, oh, if I knew then what I know now, I could have done high school so much differently. He, you know, there's a bit of that, but it's also just this feeling that if I was growing up at this time, maybe I wouldn't have been a angry, pissed off teenager who has to listen to Eminem and feels misunderstood. Maybe
I bet Cenk listened to Eminem too, though. That's kind of part of the problem there.
100% true. Yeah. But I, you know, it's not just that. It's maybe if I went through at a different time, maybe if this really was my high school years, mm-hmm. I could have fit in. I could have been, you know, more successful and maybe more confident. Maybe I could have applied to Berkeley and become a doctor there. So it's just, yeah, that idea of timing. And another thing is when we talk, you said very quickly there, reboot culture, but a lot of the kind of the hipster culture that Franco and a lot of his friends are in is about kind of taking things from the past and repurposing them, mm-hmm. and, you know, making things that came about in a different generation, taking what you like of them and making them yours.
Yeah.
And it's just another way that kind of idea of rebooting ties into something thematic here, not just him wanting to redo his teen years, but kind of contemporary teen culture doing a lot of that, you know, pastiche and taking things from the past and repurposing them.
Yeah, for sure. That's entirely true. I don't think the movie doesn't do a lot with that. Like, we don't see Baby Franco making a mashup or anything, but it's the idea is certainly there. So I think it bears thinking about. One thing along the lines of timing that I really enjoy, that I totally forgot about until watching it again, is when Janko and his new friends, the science nerds, are arguing over whether Pluto is a planet. I love that scene so much, because when Janko is in high school, Pluto still is a planet, and a year after he graduates, it stops being considered a planet, and I really like that bit.
Yeah. How do you like all the stuff with Janko and the science kids? Do you find that genuine?
Yes, because I think that's a part of the movie where there's something so earnest in Channing Tatum's performance in those scenes that I think really brings them together. And I think if the performance was off, those scenes would fall apart. I certainly find the Schmidt plot lines more interesting. I think in general it's funnier as well. But I think Channing Tatum, not that the group of nerds are poor performers, but it all hinges on Tatum, and I think he's very, very good in those scenes.
Yeah, and I think that this movie especially, and I think 22 Jump Street really drives it home, was that this is a side of Channing Tatum we just didn't see a lot of. Not his nerd side, but just his goofball side. And so we have him being, you know, this, you know, big kind of jockey alpha male and everything. And then we have him being this total beta, like hanging out with the loser kids, his Star Wars handshakes and stuff like that. It's just...
Well, this was the movie that made Channing Tatum cool. Like, he was popular to an extent from Step Up and things like that, but he wasn't cool until 21 Jump Street.
Oh, not at all. Like, he was like, famous, but not likable by guys, really.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
like, when...
And, like, funny girls.
Yeah. If people like you or I were talking about Channing Tatum before 21 Jump Street, it was hard to get people to listen, you know? Like, yeah. I always thought he was good in A Guide to Recognizing Your Saints, and but that was always, like, it just wasn't a battle worth fighting, you know? So, and now people will listen to you.
Unlike Step Up, that's a battle worth.
Oh, his dancing scenes are transcendent in that movie.
No, I don't mean arguing the movie, but I just mean like what he had to do in that movie. You know, like that was so worth it for his character. Yeah. One thing I totally fuck you, Miles Davis.
Oh, fuck! I love that so much. So hard. I love that scene so much, and one of the. Just in general, that whole sequence with the tripping is just great. Yeah. Like, fuck you, science, coming right before it is another highlight of the movie. But yeah, fuck you, Miles Davis is so great.
Yeah.
As he's, like diving through a gong.
Yeah, like head first right through it.
Yeah. Also, what high school band has a gong? I was very confused about that.
I don't know. Yeah. They go to nicer high schools than we go to.
Yeah, I suppose.
I don't think we had the same athletic facilities either. But
yeah. We did have a track, just not that nice. Yeah, actually, exactly. I think the track got put in after I graduated. Anyway.
Like Pluto stopped being a planet.
Yeah, exactly.
That's another kind of fun, not straight storytelling thing that this movie does. You know, with the showing how HFS affects you and the things popping up on screen like that.
Yeah.
That was just another kind of it's not huge at all, but it's just another little curveball. That's just a bit of a different approach to the filmmaking of this movie.
Exactly. That... And when they bring it back with Molly at the very end, it's really funny. It's like a really, really good callback. And it's something that's sort of said, I mean, we've talked about sort of the way that we can kind of have sketches existing within the plots. And that's kind of like a separate sketch that totally makes sense within the plot is their trip. But then the callback is just so funny, you know, and it's great. And also just the video of Billiam Willingham tripping is so funny, as is the name Billiam Willingham and the fact that they continue to call him Billiam throughout the entire movie. I love it so much.
Yeah, and it's the classic rule of threes, right? Like you that's the third time you see that segment of the trip. Like you see Billiam's, you see Schmidt and Janko go through it, like we talked about, and those two are kind of pretty closely spaced, and then you think that that's kind of done with for now.
Yeah.
And then by the time she goes through it, it just kind of has that added effect to it because of the time, and it's in a very important moment in the plot where things are getting pretty intense, obviously. Yeah. So to kind of fall back on this kind of goofy thing in a very intense situation is just a good kind of bit of comic relief that I think heightens everything.
Absolutely.
The thing I forgot about enjoying was Jake Johnson in this movie.
Oh, I'm a big Jake Johnson fan. Yeah, he has like 1.5 scenes in this movie, but he's so funny when he says, okay, let's try that again and pretend you guys aren't weird. Like, I love Jake Johnson. I feel like I wouldn't still be watching New Girl if it wasn't for him. But yeah, he's great. He's like the new John Krasinski. He fills that like time-based, like everyman. Like John Krasinski was the everyman of 2005. Jake Johnson is the everyman of 2014.
Yeah, and he's got that one line, which I think kind of points out some of the flaws of the tropes of, I guess, a lot of teen movies, a lot of more so cop movies, yeah. And I guess I'm guessing 21 Jump Street TV show. So when he says, "I feel so ineffectual, I feel like I should be doing something but can't."
Yeah.
He obviously can. He has so much power in the school. Yeah. But yeah, that and him
and Channing Tatum look like contemporaries, which is funny to me too. Because I mean, I assume they are. You know, I assume they're the exact same age.
So. Yeah, but that scene, well, that particular line in that scene, and then near the end when it's kind of the big shootout. Her name's Molly, right?
Yes.
Okay. You know, she's being held hostage, and there's a gun in that Franco can reach. What's his name again?
Baby Franco.
Baby Franco.
No, it's so Eric. It's Eric.
So Eric can almost reach the gun, but he's too freaked out. And she asks him why, and he's just like,
Yeah, that part's really funny.
It's really funny to me, and it does that thing that I think 21 and 22 Jump Street do a lot, and I think they do well, where they'll draw attention to a lot of the flaws in what they're doing, kind of in a fun way that they're saying, like, look, this only makes as little sense as every other movie that has done this a million times before us and is going to do it a million times after us. You know, we draw attention to it to get a laugh and to let you know that this just isn't some plot hole. Like, oh, but he had a gun. Why did he? No, you know what? We're having a good time.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's funny. They address it and they move on and you get a laugh and then the story can continue. And it's just these two guys who direct and write these movies. They just seem so hyper aware of all these things and, you know, we'll call themselves on it and then continue to make a good movie despite it.
Yeah, Lord and Miller are not credited writers on this movie.
No, I know that.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to point out in case there's any confusion in the listeners. I didn't want to start a misinformation trip, you know, no matter how accidental.
They're too busy on the Lego movie.
No, that's only on the 22 Jump Street.
No, the other Lego movie.
Oh, okay.
The prequel.
the Duplo movie?
Yeah, that's right. What else do you have to say about 21 Jump Street? Do you want to move to 22?
I feel like most of the points I can make about 21 Jump Street also tie into 22 Jump Street and sort of the way the movie's play with each other. So I suppose the one thing that I found interesting this time that I hadn't found in 21 Jump Street before or hadn't really thought about was the line Ice Cube's character has. I forget his name. Anyways, he's the captain. When he gives a speech and says "embrace your stereotypes," I found that really interesting, and it's kind of what Janko and Schmidt do, and things just happen to have been flipped, and Janko starts to realize the problems with how he behaved, and but he still is kind of accepting the fact that he is a bit a bit dumber. He didn't try too hard in school, and I think the idea of just accepting which group you are a part of is kind of an important part of being happy in high school. And I mean, certainly some things are shittier for others and it's hard to accept that. But I think that was something interesting that you don't see in a lot of teen movies. You see like that one character that doesn't give a fuck about anybody, but it's generally like the goth chick, you know, it's somebody that is an other, you know, you don't see a lot of people that kind of exist in that middle ground between cool and not cool, which is the ground of high school that I dominated. So I find that really interesting. And I don't think you get a lot of that.
I'm just thinking of almost every teen movie I've seen, and within the last 20 minutes there's one or several characters either get a makeover or you know, say like you don't have to continue being this anymore, whereas this movie kind of says like you are who you are, and that's not necessarily a bad thing that you, I mean, at least you fit into a group.
Yeah, exactly. And just the fact, the mixing of, you know, Schmidt being cool now and Janko fitting in with the allegedly not cool group is very nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So. So we could talk about 22 Jump Street.
All right.
But that movie talks so much about itself that you should just go watch the movie. No, we'll talk about 22 Jump Street now.
Yeah.
How'd you like it?
I think it is a very funny movie.
Okay.
Yep.
So
it is a good comedy. It is not a really good movie, I don't think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because something you love so much about the first one is how it kind of does both. Is a good movie and is a funny movie and a good, interesting movie.
Exactly. Like, I mean, the difference is basically all the things I've already talked about with 21 Jump Street. They didn't have that that second idea that I thought was really interesting. And they certainly, you know, they replaced the high school movie idea with the college movie idea, but there's less defined tropes for college movies. You know, like what is the Breakfast Club of college movies? And
Animal House.
I don't. But see, that's the thing. It's not big enough culturally, I don't think.
I think it's big enough culturally, but has much less to say.
Okay,
I think that's true of all kind of college. Well, maybe not all, but I think that's true when you compare the two overall. Is that the college movie is usually the zanier, more sex adventure based one, and I know there's tons of sex like American Pie, high school movies. Mm-hmm. But even American Pie, I think, is kind of more about kind of growth and individuality and things like that. And I'm not going to say that that's a great important piece of art or anything, but mm-hmm. I find that that's there. Whereas college movies are usually more the like evil dean and the the robot that shoots bras out or whatever happens in college movies.
I think that was Austin Powers too that you were describing. Okay, fair enough.
I think Animal House is big enough culturally, but I just don't think it's as substantive as Breakfast Club or any of the other big teen movies.
I also don't think it's nearly as iconic as The Breakfast Club, and I really don't think this is just me caring about teen movies more than anybody should. But and I think the other things that I really loved about 21 Jump Street that we haven't talked about, which I suppose we can do now, they were there in 22 Jump Street, but it was just it was the same thing, you know, and it was still a couple nice sweet scenes. Like we've got the scene where Schmidt in 21 Jump Street asks Brie Larson's character Molly to the prom. I like that scene a lot. I think it's really good. I like Janko's reaction to it when he's listening in. And it's kind of the equivalent of the montage in 22 Jump Street set to Midnight City, the M83 song, and where Schmidt and Maya? Maya talk all night, and while Janko and Zook are making their football video. It's the same thing. You know, we've got Janko making a new friend and Schmidt getting to know a girl. And it's very well done both times. It's just that it's being redone in 22 Jump Street. And there is a limit to how far I'm willing to go with them just being like, oh, we know we're doing this again. You know, it's just, I get it. I get that you that you know you are repeating yourself, but that doesn't make it good. You know, there's a limit to how far. Like, I can still find it funny. I just can't find it something worth thinking about again. Yeah.
Okay. What about just the idea of the long distance relationship and kind of the typical college relationship that they explored in this movie? That's not interesting to you at all?
Well, it is, but it's the same thing because we get the same thing in 21 Jump Street. It's the same basic idea. Like, in high school, at some point, you meet a friend. You know, from my own personal experience, my best friend in grade 9 was not my best friend in grade 12. And you meet a friend and, you know, you realize that things that used to be different and make you not able to be friends now bring you closer. They make you covalent bonds. And that's something that 21 Jump Street plays on a lot. And, you know, they also sort of deal with the idea of losing a friend in high school as a part of this. It's all with Janko and Schmidt, but they cover all the ground. And the same thing is very much happens in college. I mean, you and I met in college and became good friends, you know, and some of the people I was good friends with in high school, I'm no longer friends with because of just where I went in college. But it was just too much rehashing that I just didn't find nearly as interesting just because it was these same characters doing the same situation. Yeah.
But they told you they wanted more of the same, Alex.
Yeah,
they
that's fine. And I'm telling them I would have liked more different, you know?
Is there anything you found they did differently?
I don't think they did anything differently in a way that I found better, you know?
Not even giving Ice Cube more screen time?
Well, I actually thought Ice Cube did a really good job with his added screen time. I thought it was really funny. The part where he gets two string beans on his plate or whatever was really funny to me. And that's the thing. Like, I found the movie really funny, but not in a way that is anywhere as interesting as 21 Jump Street. Like, I laughed a lot in 22 Jump Street, but it's not... When it was over, it was over. You know?
Yeah, I get that.
So how did you feel?
I thought it was funny. I think I liked kind of the, I don't know, bromance angle to it. Yeah. I've kind of heard a lot of people saying that, like, they got over that joke at one point. That they're like, oh, we get it. It's like they're a couple. And I don't think that that's the joke. Yeah. I think that this joke has this movie has a million other jokes in other places. You know, every time Julian Bell's on scene.
Yeah.
I think it has its jokes elsewhere, and that was kind of that served the purpose of, you know, exploring a relationship, a romantic relationship, you know, heterosexual or homosexual. That's really irrelevant. Mm-hmm. I think that stuff worked for me better. I don't know why, but just the kind of, I agree with you there. It's so many of the same beats. But I think that they did do kind of something a bit different in the relationship, something more, kind of truer to the college experience and not necessarily just recycling a high school experience. Mm-hmm. I thought they did something that was truer to, kind of a long distance high school, college relationship, even though I know that they were attending the same college in this movie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sharing the same room and all that. Mm-hmm. But no, I think that stuff worked out better for me. And I thought that it was, you know, you're right. Like, so much of it is the same. I mean, the big difference is that it's Janko fitting in this time.
Yeah, exactly. It's the reverse. Reverse of the initial reverse that 21 Jump Street did.
Yeah, exactly. But I thought it had some genuine differences from just doing a high school thing. And I think it made it kind of a college movie that in the way that 21 Jump Street is a high school movie and, you know, by extension, a teen movie.
Yeah. I just sort of think there's one big difference that I found in 21 and 22 Jump Street. And I mean, I watched them very close to each other. Not quite back to back, but, you know, as close as you can. And the thing I found was 21 Jump Street is a much more, it's a movie that feels a lot more controlled. Like, the filmmaking is just better. And, The big difference I found is that the big elements in 21 Jump Street feel creative and interesting, whereas in 22 Jump Street, the big elements are the same, like the big set pieces that you have to plan, and then it felt like there was a lot more improvisation in the smaller parts, whereas 21 Jump Street, there's certainly moments of improvisation, but I think it's a much more tightly scripted movie. That's certainly the feel I get from it, and the direction of the movie is a lot more thoughtful. There are just scenes that seem to have been planned out a lot more in advance. Specifically, like the scene where there's that scene where Schmidt is praying to Korean Jesus about how much he hated high school, and then we get that slow crane shot into a reveal that Janko's standing behind him laughing. And there are scenes like that, like Jillian Bell just, you know, they cut to a wide shot and she's been listening to them all night and just says Schmidt is the loudest climaxer she's ever heard. And that type of thing. But it really feels like a lot of scenes weren't as confident with them going into the movie. And it just sort of feels like a looser movie in a way that I think you would have less problems with, just because, I mean, you like improvisation more, and I'm probably more interested in filmmaking than you are, you know?
Yes.
And, I just think 22 Jump Street is a sloppier film. And That's not a huge problem for me enjoying it. It's, again, just a problem for me wanting to think about it more. I think another problem is I think that there are certainly good people in 22 Jump Street that fill out the supporting roles. I mean, Jillian Bell, I adore.
Phoebe Stormare.
Yeah, I adore possibly even more the Swedish Ryan Gosling. But like, say somebody like Zook versus Eric.
Eric.
Yeah, that's what I said.
No, I mean, I'm taking Eric.
Oh, yeah, of course. Baby Franco is so much funnier than Kurt Russell's kid, you know? And
Maya versus Molly.
Yeah, I liked Maya as well, but...
She's fine.
But... Yeah, but Molly certainly is better. And yeah, it's just... Just the little pieces just didn't work and... Or weren't as good. And even if you look at, say, the... I mean, we've got Patton Oswalt playing a professor in 22 Jump Street, which I will never complain about Patton Oswalt being in a movie, but the fact that he's only in one scene, I think kind of hinders his ability to help the movie. Whereas somebody like Ellie Kemper and Rob Riggle are both in multiple scenes. I mean, I know Mark Evan Jackson is kind of filling that role in 22 Jump Street, but you know, Patton Oswalt feels way more like a cameo than a character, even though I think his scene is really important to the movie, because that's where we get sort of this movie's version of the embrace your stereotypes line, where he's asking Jenko if he's going to question his convictions, basically, which is kind of the idea of college that they try to get to.
Yeah, and that's one scene I thought that you would have liked a lot. And I mean, it sounds like you do. And that was kind of another point that I thought made this more of a college movie than just a sequel to a high school movie where they have to put it somewhere else just because they just graduated. Mm-hmm. I think his point about like the fresh start that college is, and saying like, I'm sure you've been this way your whole life. And, you know, he's just being that guy who, instead of engaging with someone, instead of, you know, being interesting or smart or try to offer their best, you know, at the risk of, that best maybe not being good enough immediately, he just kind of shoots it down. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it is. It's kind of a brief redo of that scene, but I think it's still at least kind of half a step past the embrace your stereotype and more of a college level idea than a high school level idea, I suppose.
Yeah, and I think I certainly like that scene, but I think the thing I don't like is that. And this is something that's very different in 21 Jump Street, is I don't think the characters at the beginning of 22 Jump Street and the characters at the end of 22 Jump Street are different at all. You know, they've gone through something, but I don't think they've really changed anything. And the idea of that scene seems to be saying something along the lines of, you know, you should change. And then neither of them change. Now, I mean, it's not like I have some magical suggestion that would have made this movie interesting.
Right.
But I that is a big difference between something I found really interesting in 21 Jump Street and something that could have been interesting in 22 Jump Street that don't really follow through on. And I mean, you can't really end this movie with them not being friends, you know? That might have even been much less satisfying. But the fact that, you know, there is an interesting scene that they just then don't play with kind of bugs me.
Right. Mm. And you said kind of from the beginning of this movie, you felt that they were the same way at the end. I will say that I had a really hard time getting into this movie.
Like, 22 Jump Street?
Yeah.
I agree entirely. I thought the...
and this is coming from someone who is very, extremely excited about seeing 22 Jump Street.
Yeah.
I just had such a terrible feeling once it started rolling.
Well, yeah, and the previously on 21 Jump Street, I was like, oh no, oh, I'm very concerned. And then I was confused. I was like, I do not remember this lobster scene in 21 Jump Street.
That I liked, actually.
Yeah, okay. Because it was an Annie Hall reference.
That, and I like when he tried to do it later with Zoo.
Yeah, that was kind of funny.
I thought that was a really good joke.
But then the turn down for what montage had that, I think, Jonah Hill saying, surprise, there's two more arms. That was where, like, I was like, okay, good. I'm into this now, and them ghost riding the whip for like the tiniest amount of time in the tiniest corner of the frame, I thought was a really funny shot. But yeah, and then that opening sequence, the first action set piece, just it didn't really do a lot for me either. But
no, that's the thing. I was gonna say I thought you were saying once we got the surprise Tomar Arms line, we were in the clear. I thought that was funny, and then it kind of stepped back. And yeah, I know that that's
for sure
a scene we had.
Jonah Hill getting into character was very funny to me.
See, yeah, then that was funny, and then we kind of got some jokes that we had seen a million times in the trailer, so those are always kind of tough to love again.
I don't watch advertising. I'm like Eric. I'm cool.
Okay. And your background on your computer is you playing Ultimate Frisbee, of course,
while smoking weed and not believing in the system.
Oh no, he is playing Frisbee on his computer though. That's a real fact.
Oh, is that for real?
Yeah, 100%.
Oh my god.
Oh, it brought me so much joy the first time I saw that.
Holy shit. I guess I have to watch 21 Jump Street again.
Yeah, but it's really, really was very worried for a solid amount of time in this mm-hmm. movie. And then it sounds like I came around to it more than you did, but that first little bit was really troubling to me.
Yeah, no, I would agree. And like you, obviously, I was very excited about this movie, but also was expecting to be let down to an extent just because of how highly I hold 21 Jump Street, you know?
Right.
But yeah, like if there was a Social Network too, I would also be expecting to be let down. You know?
Right. Oh, one other thing about the ending, which you had brought up. A lot of the meta stuff throughout the movie, I'm not going to take the time to point every single one of them out.
They do too much of it.
Yeah,
I think 100%. Like the thing that really bothers me is that, or bothered me about the jokes, was that they were just so obvious. They were. It seemed like they were dumbing down 21 Jump Street, and I will never be more on board with somebody that seems like they're dumbing down. Whereas something like the tattoo, what's Zook's friend, whatever Zook's redheaded or you know faux redheaded rooster, his tattoo of the Plainview red herrings, like yeah. That's such a funny joke to me, and it's because it takes like half a second of thought to sort of figure it out. And the difference between that and the sequel jokes is that and this was something I felt about Nick Offerman's speech in 21 Jump Street as well, is that it's a bit too obvious, and it's even more obvious in 22 Jump Street, and that bothered me a little bit.
Okay, but do you think that there's, because I just watched a bit of an interview with Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, mm-hmm. and they said for pretty much every time they did a joke like that, they also shot that scene pretty much straight without those jokes. And they said, like, we knew how, like, we know how meta this movie is. We understand that we're referencing ourselves a lot, and we're referencing the fact that you're watching this movie, or we're referencing the fact of how this movie was made, or how it's part of a franchise, or how it's a sequel, or how it's repetitive. And we didn't know where to draw the line. So we would kind of get one of each, and then in editing, figure out exactly where that line was, and said that that was very something they were very, very conscious of. And not doing too much of it, but still doing enough that it's their own unique take was one of their guiding principles.
Yeah.
So you and I think about this kind of stuff way more than most people do. And not because we're more intelligent, but because we like movies a lot. And about them.
Yeah. I think it's not a stretch to say we think about movies more than the average person.
Yes. So do you think it's just like, and that's something you clearly like doing. So do you think it's something that you're happy to see in a more mainstream product that
but
you think people are already that smart that they would get it already?
Yeah. I think there are some things that certainly I might get that other people don't get, like Channing Tatum joking about them protecting the president and him saying he thought it was a good idea. It's a joke about White House down bombing, and I found that funny, and I was the only person that laughed that in my theater. And I understand why. It's because nobody saw White House Down. I didn't even see White House Down. The difference is I remember it existed. There's just this fine line that you kind of have to navigate. And I don't think it's necessarily better or more enjoyable to me that I'm trying to think of a phrasing that doesn't make me sound like a terrible person. but it's just sort of, I don't know, it just, there's a fine line with these things of being funny and talking down to the audience. And I will, it's just always more interesting if a movie expects me to catch up. Like there are some things in 21 Jump Street that, like the embrace your stereotypes line, that I mean, only recently have sort of come around to figuring out and thinking about. And it's because 21 Jump Street didn't really talk down to us a lot. And I just feel like that line is navigated less, you know, just more poorly in this movie. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And going off that and some other things I know you like about movies, particularly action ones, this was something I thought was really going to excite you. And then because of sequelitis, it couldn't happen. When Ice Cube, in his Ice Cube shaped office.
I didn't like that joke.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's too much. And it's like when Queen Latifah was saying, but I'm straight out of Compton. I wasn't into that joke either.
I didn't like that joke at all.
Yeah. Whereas them using the song Straight Outta Compton in a montage in 21 Jump Street is funny. You know?
So you hearing the name Ice Cube in 21 Jump Street is funny, but you seeing Ice Cube's office in the shape of an ice cube in 22 Jump Street is not funny.
Them saying it's like a cube of ice is what's not funny.
Oh, okay. If they left it alone, that would have been fine?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Ice Cube saying that they're over their budget and they can't do anything more. Mm-hmm. I thought we were going to see some good filmmaking of I thought they were going to have a very small ending to this movie.
Oh, yeah.
That was going to be one of the curveballs, that they didn't make it big and explosive. And they certainly did. I guess the one kind of joke that they did do that I like in that vein was when they drive into the robotics laboratory.
Yes.
And just show the bird's eye view of the building so you can't see it all.
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
I thought we were going to get a finale full of that kind of stuff, which mm-hmm. I thought would have been such a big risk, but they didn't go for it.
Yeah.
What was I just going to say?
I have no idea.
Okay, but I do know the part of this movie that you loved.
Okay.
The credits.
Surprise sequence? Peter Stormare? Yes, I love Surprise Peter Stormare, who I had no idea was in this movie. I enjoyed the credit sequence, yes.
Oh, I thought you'd be in love with that.
I don't know. There were parts of it I loved. The what contract dispute and Seth Rogen's appearance. Great. And Seth Rogen saying nobody will be able to tell the difference. Very funny. Yeah. And then him calling Janko Jenkins was so funny. Yeah. And the thing I really liked about those gags was the, I don't remember any of them specifically, but all of the taglines on the posters were fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they were so good. And I loved the Jump Street Generations one. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, I thought that was so good.
Yeah.
Oh man, I thought you'd have been a much bigger fan, but maybe you had your dose of meta jokes for the last.
Yeah, exactly.
Minutes.
I think it was funny, but it really felt like something I would have, if you had explained it to me, it felt like something I would have found funnier, you know?
Okay.
Than I actually did.
So with the kind of all the credit sequence jokes about the franchise and the 23 Street. No, 23 Jump Street condos joke.
That's a funny joke to me.
Yeah, very early on in the movie. Where do they go from here?
Oh, I have no idea.
Because it's making enough money.
Yeah. I really don't know where they go. I mean,
you want to see the chef school one with Bill Hader?
I want to see a combination of the one with Seth Rogen, Bill Hader, and Anna Faris.
Okay.
Yeah. And Richard Grieco can have a cameo. While we're at it. Why not? Throw him in there. Yeah, I have no idea where they go. I think they're smart enough to not do a third one exactly in this vein.
Do you think they'll do it, though? Phil Lord and Christopher Miller?
Oh, I don't know. Because they're in such a... good place right now, as far as just, I think between the Lego movie and I mentioned this on the Lego movie podcast, anticipating 22 Jump Street would be a hit, but between the Lego movie and 22 Jump Street in the same year, like months apart, they are at a place where they can write their own ticket. And yeah. if there's a really good idea for 23 Jump Street, I feel like they would do it, because it also, it really feels like this is a group that just really loves working together. That's one of the things that makes this movie so good is, and I mean, it's a common thing in the Apatow movement that really sort of allowed 21 Jump Street to exist, is that you can tell these people just love spending time together, particularly Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill. And that's such an important part of the movie, is just being able to see their chemistry and just being like, oh, they just love each other exactly as much as they do in the movie. Yeah. And that's so important to the movie. And I think it's very important to whether or not Phil and Chris come back, you know?
Yep. So, well, I'm curious.
Yes, I am curious as well. But yeah. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if Jonah Hill gets nominated for a third Oscar this year, and then maybe.
We'll see.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you for listening to the MacGuffin Man. Be sure to check back next week when we'll be talking about Fargo, the television series, and a bit about the movie as well. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the MacGuffin Man. Be sure to check out themacguffinmen.com for supplementary links, articles, and more. Thanks for listening.